Praise God.
Yeah, let's see if that, yeah. Oh, praise God. Oh, yeah. All right, there we go.
Whew, praise God. Like I said earlier, I did mean what I said, that I believe that there are people here who Jesus has been wanting to meet with you. He was wanting to manifest himself to you. But you're just not there when he turns up. And so he sent me to kind of increase your awareness that he really does want to manifest. He really does want to reveal himself to you. You know, after Easter, Jesus still appeared to people. It didn't just end when he resurrected. He was here for 40 days, appearing to people. You know, I was going to talk about the people that he didn't actually appear to, you know, and why he chose to appear to some people and not others. Because if I was Jesus, I'd go to Caiaphas straight away. I'd wait for Caiaphas to be in the temple, waving about his incense, and I'd just creep up behind him. Boo. I mean, literally frighten the life out of him. But I'm not Jesus, praise God. Because he's the one that condemned Jesus to death, mock trial and everything. What about Pontius Pilate? Found Jesus not guilty yet, sent him to be crucified. If I was Jesus, after resurrection, I'd just creep into his office and just sit on his chair and wait for him to come in and go, hi. I mean, you know, or King Herod. King Herod was the one that mocked Jesus. Herod put the robe on Jesus. Perform a sign, perform a miracle. Turn up to Herod's palace. I turn up to Herod's palace and appear to everybody else apart from Herod. So that everyone would go, oh my goodness, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And the only person that missed out would be Herod. Praise God that I'm not Jesus. Do you know what I mean? But the point is, Jesus appeared to people. He did appear to people. It might surprise you that Jesus still appears to people today. Many people. Like, sometimes manifestation, sometimes physically, Jesus still appears to people. And the one thing I want you to get from this message today is he's been waiting to meet with you. And I don't know who you are, but you lock the door. Behold, I have been standing at your door and I have been knocking. The question is, why have you not opened? Why have you not opened? I was going to talk about the Apostle Paul and the fact that Jesus appeared to the Apostle Paul even after the ascension. So this isn't even resurrection now. He appears to the Apostle Paul, a most unlikely candidate. But Paul is actually a really good example of what happens when Jesus encounters you. It's a really good example of why you need that encounter. When Jesus encountered Saul on the road to Damascus, I mean, you know the story. You should know the story. The story you can find in Acts chapter 9. When he encountered Saul, Saul saw a bright light and heard a voice. Jesus asked him a question. Now, if you're a good Bible student, you know that when God asks you a question, it's not because he doesn't know the answer. It's because he wants you to contemplate the meaning of your life, quite literally. How many of you know the question that Jesus asked? Okay, so let me just, disclaimer, I will get you to talk to me. I will get you to talk to each other. It's not a monologue. It's never meant to be a monologue. So just say hello, a proper hello to the person next to you this time. And if there's nobody next to you, feel free to move seats. If you don't know their name, ask them for their name because you're going to be talking. Okay? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many of you can remember the question that Jesus asked Saul when he met him on that Damascus road? Yes. Why persecutest thou me? Has everyone got the gift of translation? Why do you persecute me? Why do you persecute me? Saul, being the good Pharisee that he was, answered the question with a question. What was Saul's answer? What was Saul's question? Who are you, Lord, is the correct answer. The rest of you have got half marks only. Because the word we were looking for there. Well done, Tim. Full points. Full points. So immediately you see that even though you have someone that's an unbeliever, someone that's hostile, persecuting, he has an encounter, and instantly you begin to see what happens when Jesus encounters you. The very first thing that happened was he receives a revelation. As far as we know, Saul never met Jesus. If he did trust, he would have written about it. He would have told someone about it. It is likely that during the lifetime of Jesus, Saul was in Tarsus. And it was when the church began to explode and news got to him that there's this new heresy going around that God came, manifested in the flesh, died and rose again, and they summoned him to come and sort out the problem. So it's likely he never met Jesus. So he's on Damascus Road, bright light shines around him, he hears a voice. How does he know that this person that is speaking is Lord? You see, this is why you need to encounter Jesus, because you immediately get revelation. Immediately. Three things that you will get when you encounter Jesus Christ. You get revelation, transformation, and impartation. But I'm going to come to those step by step. And I'm building a case, because like I said, if there's anything that you take away from this, Jesus has been knocking on your door, but you haven't opened. For whatever reason, you haven't opened. You haven't let him in. You've left him in a corner. You left him on the patio. And you're having conversation with him from the patio. It's not going to work. Revelation. You need an encounter with Jesus Christ because it gives you revelation. Whenever you encounter the risen Christ, you will always get a new or a greater revelation of who he is. Anybody that has an encounter with Jesus. See, the manifestation of the presence of Jesus, just the manifestation of his presence, it always has within it different facets of his lordship. It always has within it different dimensions of the glory of God the Father. That's just the glory that he carries. That's his majesty. So when you have an encounter, not if, when you have that encounter, necessarily you will come away with a new revelation of the lordship of Jesus Christ and a revelation, a deeper revelation of the glory of God the Father, because he always glorifies his Father, always, 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 100%. He will never appear to you and there will not be an aspect that will not glorify God the Father. So an encounter with Jesus will give you a deeper revelation of the manifestation of the glory of God. But why have you not opened the door? Transformation. Now, it goes without saying, I don't need to explain this point. If you encounter Jesus Christ, if he were to manifest himself to you, 100% guarantee you will be transformed by that experience. You will be transformed. If you're not transformed, then it wasn't Jesus. It just wasn't. It's like somebody that thinks that they can stare directly at the sun and not be changed by that encounter. There is no way that your eyesight will remain the same. Necessarily, if the sun is the sun and you're on, your eyesight will be changed by that encounter. It is the same. An encounter with Jesus Christ is always, always transformative. You will be permanently changed by that encounter. Impartation. Now, I have to hammer this point home. Jesus doesn't just appear to people because they want him to appear. Jesus doesn't just manifest, reveal himself to people just because they asked. It should confuse you. Good. It should make you think. Why? You see, Jesus did many miracles while he was here. And while he was doing miracles, many people said to him, "Show us a sign. Prove yourself." The sermon started by me saying, why didn't he go to Caiaphas and just prove himself? Look, I told you, I'm who I said I was. Why didn't he appear to whoever, the unbelievers, the Pharisees? See, Jesus doesn't do tricks. He's not there to make you feel better. He's not there to put on a show. He's not. Anytime Jesus encounters somebody, it is always for a specific reason. It's not just because they asked or because they were feeling sad or because they wanted a big spiritual experience. It's for a specific reason. More specifically than that, it is for kingdom purpose. It is for kingdom purpose. An encounter with the risen Christ will always result in impartation, always. And that impartation is for kingdom purpose. I could argue that that's the most important. I could argue, I'm not arguing. All three are really important. And all three are why Jesus wants to meet with you. It's not just for show. It's not just so that you can believe and you don't doubt and all that. No, Jesus doesn't do that. If not, he'd appear to every single person on earth that's doubting. Kingdom purpose. Now, I'm going to pause for a minute because I'm going to ask you a question. And I'm sure you've already been thinking about this question. When was the last time you had an encounter with the risen Christ? When was the last time you had an encounter that left you with a new revelation, a greater revelation of the Lordship of Christ and the glory of God? When was the last time you had an encounter with Jesus that had such an impact on you that you were not just changed, but you were transformed by the experience? When was the last time you came into contact with Jesus and it left you with such an impartation for the kingdom that you couldn't help but become engaged with kingdom business? I'm going to pause so that you think about this and you think about the whys and the wherefores and you deal with all the stuff that comes into your heart and into your mind. Because like I said, Jesus sent me to tell you he's been knocking at the door, but you've only let him into the porch. And he's desiring to have a transformative encounter with you for kingdom purpose. There's business. There's business that needs to be dealt with in our society. There's business that needs to be dealt with in your sphere of influence. Jesus needs to be there. But he is there through his body, the church. He is there through you. So for them to come into contact with the power of God, he needs somebody that will open the door and say, transform me. He needs somebody to say, okay, impart it to me so that when I go, they come into contact with that power and then they believe. That's why he died. That's why he rose. That's why he sent the Spirit. That's why he's manifesting the kingdom. But it only comes through those people who have actually met him, have received the revelation of his lordship, are transformed, and are willing to do kingdom business to receive that fullness of the power. Our society is getting darker and darker and more unsafe. Where are the kingdom people, though? Necessarily, Jesus needs to, wants to, desires to meet with you because there is work to be done. Why does Jesus appear to some and not to others? Going to talk about kingdom purpose because that's the answer. Why did he appear to Saul? Kingdom purpose is the answer. I want us to read Acts chapter 9. This is the Acts chapter 9 verse 10. So this is the story of Saul and Saul's encounter. And it's just to illustrate what will happen to you when you open the door and let Jesus encounter you. That might be a bit small for some of you to read, so I'll just read it. But if you've got your Bible, you can turn to Acts chapter 9. I've not said that in a long time. If you have your Bibles, if you've got your phones, can you get it out and put it on silent, please? I'm joking. Acts chapter 9, verse 10 to 20. Now, there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him, the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. A very interesting situation where Paul's praying and is seeing a vision, and Ananias is praying and seeing a vision of Paul having a vision of him. A window within a window, praise God. Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel. There's your answer right there. He is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles, kings, children of Israel. A chosen vessel for kingdom purpose. Can we safely say that Paul went about kingdom business? That he fulfilled kingdom business? He's a chosen vessel of mine. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Purpose. It wasn't just because there's this guy who hates Christians, so I'm just going to turn up and show him who's boss. None of that. He had in mind kingdom business. And Ananias went his way, entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled, there's your impartation, with the Holy Spirit. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. Further transformation. So when he received food, he was strengthened. Then he spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. And what does verse 20 say? Immediately he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Revelation, transformation, impartation. Immediate change, kingdom business straight away. Didn't waste no time. He didn't need anybody to tell him that Jesus was the Son of God. He received that revelation when Jesus walked into his life. Straight away, filling of the Holy Spirit. When you look at the change of his name from Saul to Paul, it's the next time in the book of Acts that it says Saul was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he says, now you guys can call me Paul. Transformation. Church, here's a question. Do you want the risen Christ to reveal himself to you? Wow. That was about three people. All right, I'm going to go because he sent me to. So it's the rest of you guys that he sent me to. Okay, now I see my assignment. Do you want an encounter with, look, I'm going to hammer on this point. Jesus will not turn up just because you asked. Because he's not into showmanship. He's not into giving people experiences so that we can have fantastic testimonies. Praise God if you do have a fantastic testimony, but that's not the purpose. There's intent. There's specific intent. He has something in mind. He looks across the borough and he sees problems. He sees strongholds. He sees bondage. He sees sin. He sees brokenness. And he's looking for people that want to be filled with the power to demonstrate kingdom manifestation, not people who just want an experience. Because he's looking and there are people crying out. There are people lost. There are people turning to drugs and violence and all kinds of stuff because they don't know a way out. And he has treasures in jars of clay. He's got people, hundreds of people, hundreds and hundreds of people. And among them, he's saying, I'm looking for somebody to stand in the gap because there's somebody over there that needs a demonstration of the power and the glory in the kingdom. And he's saying, come, who can I? He's knocking on doors. Who's going to open? But here we are going, oh God, isn't our world such a bad place? Look at all the violence and all the crime. Oh my goodness, the government's not doing anything about it. And Jesus is knocking, going, I've got hundreds of people. Why are they not opening the door? I'm going to read a passage of scripture because I know that some of you are thinking that this that I'm talking about is for people that want to be pastors, or it's for people that are called prophet this and prophetess that. And No. I know I started with Paul the Apostle, so you're thinking that this manifestation is for people that have apostle in front of their names. Apostle, no. That's No. That's not what we're talking about here. That's not what we're talking about. This is John chapter 14, verse 21 to 24. Jesus is speaking to you. He's speaking to his disciples. He's speaking to you. He's speaking to us, and this is what he says. He who has my commandments and keeps them. So there is a prerequisite. Not just because I want to have a fancy experience, or, oh my goodness, I want to have this great spiritual experience. Oh God, I don't believe, but if you appear to me, then I'll believe. No, Jesus is not interested in that. He's not interested. If you keep his word, if you have his word, you've already received something. If you have his word and you keep them, there is a prerequisite, because God, no flesh shall glory in his presence. Amen. Jesus says, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father. Can you all read the next bit with me, if you can see it? It says, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and do what? And do what? He's talking to you. And that bar, if you have my commandments and you love me, it's actually quite, maybe it's not a low bar, because loving God is, you shall love the Lord your God with how much of your heart? All. But Jesus has promised, let's just read that again. He says, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and do what? So this is Jesus talking now. This isn't me. He said, to those that love me and love my Father, I will manifest myself. He actually goes further, because Judas, one of the disciples, not Judas Iscariot, says to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Because Judas is thinking what I'm thinking. Go to Caiaphas. These are the guys that hate you. Go to them. Go to the unbelievers. Go to the Muslims. Like, turn up and go, look, nail prints. I was crucified. I did die and I did rise. Just prove to all of them once and for all. He's not interested in that. Jesus answered and said, no. It's the ones that love me. It's the ones that are willing to keep my word. Jesus doesn't play around with this. He loves me, willing to keep my word. The Father will love him. Read that next bit for me. And we will do what? And see, that's a whole different sermon. We're just talking about the manifestation bit now. Because that's a whole greater revelation. I will manifest. And then there's a second bit. I and the Father will come and make our home in him. But he's knocking on the door. No one's opening the door left for the manifestation. So where are you going to get to that bit where him and the Father come and dwell? Is your house able to host? Is your house suitable? Is it conducive to host? See, Jesus wants to come first. I understand why he wants to come and check the place out before he gets the Father to turn. Do you know what I mean? And they haven't opened the door for him. No wonder he didn't go and get the Father. The level of disrespect that would be. Standing and knocking and knocking and knocking. And they know you're in because they saw the curtains move. Do you know what I mean? They saw you and they saw the curtains move and you went back in and they're still knocking. I have to wrap up because I want us to have communion. And I want us to rededicate ourselves to the Lord. I really do. Bear with me. Bear with me this morning. There's a test that I want you to take. It's called the Kingdom Ambassador Test. How many of you want to be Kingdom Ambassadors? Oh, comfort Elim. That was your moment to redeem. We thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ that redeems us from all of our... This test is designed to assess your capacity to become a Kingdom Ambassador, to represent the interests of the King of Kings, His Most Excellent Majesty, the Lord Jesus Christ, and to become a chosen envoy of His everlasting kingdom to every nation and all tribes, peoples, and languages on earth. Are you willing to take the test? This test is to see if you qualify. If you disqualify, no. Don't worry. Don't worry. Our righteousness is based on Christ. Amen. Cat test. How many cat? Not that type of cat. Kingdom ambassador. On a scale of 1 to 10, how yielded are you to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? If you're a 10, can I please see your hand? Oh, we've got one hand up there. Hallelujah. We've got two hands up there. Hallelujah. Okay. On a scale of 1 to 10, how willing are you to become like Jesus Christ? Have we got any 10 out of 10s in the house? Any 10 out of 10s in the... We've got 10 out of 10s. 10 out of 10s. I see that hand at the back. I see that hand. 10 out of 10. That's twice. That's two 10s. Okay, let's see. Availability. On a scale of 1 to 10, to what degree are you available to the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you have any 10? I see a 10. Ooh. Do we have any 30 out of 30s in the house? Perfect score. 30 out of 30? If you're a 30 out of 30, rapture. I mean, let's just move. We'll just move away because you're probably going to get raptured. Do you know what I mean? Any second now. Because even the Apostle Paul said he presses to lay hold of that, not that he had attained. So if you're a 30 out of 30, I need to kind of come in. Hallelujah. But no. Zero. Nobody should be zero out of zero. Nobody. If you're a zero out of zero, you need to come. We need to pray. No, but that wasn't a joke, though. See? No, we need to lay hands. I mean, we're talking about there's no zero in this house in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Yeah, we don't we don't play that game. Do you know what I mean? The fact that you're here this morning means you're not a zero. You came. You heard. You answered. And you came. And you raised your hands and you worshiped. So nobody here is a zero. Trust. Amen. Kingdom ambassadors. This is purpose. I'm going to just drill this because Jesus wants... I say need too strongly because the Lord Jesus doesn't need anything. He has everything that he wants. You understand what I'm saying? You need that encounter with him. And the reason why I'm pressing this is because I want you to understand that just because you ask doesn't mean. The Bible lets us know that when we ask, we don't receive because we ask amiss. Just because you ask, you need to know that he will meet with you if you're willing to do kingdom business. Because you cannot do it without an impartation of the Holy Spirit. You cannot. Because we are not wrestling against political ideologies, political parties, or whatever. We wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. You need the transformation that comes with an encounter. You need the filling of the Holy Spirit that comes with an encounter. And you need the revelation of just who Jesus Christ is. So that when you stand there, you can see not people, But you can see how the dominion of darkness has encroached on kingdom land. And you go there, and in the name of Jesus, you're representing the kingdom. And you come with the power and the authority that's invested in the kingdom. So that when you stand and you say, in the name of Jesus, you see, God said to Saul that he would bear my name. Now you need to understand that Saul didn't go around saying, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. To bear the name is to carry the unction, to carry the power and the authority that is invested in that government. So when Saul could enter a place, they started manifesting because he carried the authority and the power. I have never met an ambassador. I do not know of an ambassador who has never met their sovereign. There is no ambassador that will not first have met the prime minister or the president or the king. No ambassador gets sent from their country without first meeting the king or the president, the sovereign. You understand what I'm saying? Because in that meeting, you come under the lordship of that sovereign. You come into agreement. In that meeting, you receive your mandate. They're going to send you to this country so that you look after the interest in this oil well and in that and in whatever, whatever. So that trade is happening. So the citizens from your country are being treated well. They're not being discriminated against. They're not being put in prison unfairly. You're given a mandate. But you first have to meet the sovereign. Because at that meeting then, you receive the authority to act on behalf of that territory. You receive the impartation. You receive the authority is invested in you. So that when you go to the other territory, you know that you're there with the full backing, the power and the authority that comes with that country. Therefore, it gives you a level of protection and immunity. The U.S. ambassador, the British government can't treat him anyhow. Even when the U.S. ambassador goes to wherever, Iraq or whatever, they can't just treat him anyhow. Because they know that the moment you put hands on him, you've put hand on that country. You've put hand on the sovereign of that country. How much more when it comes to kingdom? There's the reason why Jesus said, I give you power to trample over serpents. Because there is a kingdom of darkness that we know has encroached on our territory. We know this. But we think it's something that politics can sort out. Or we think it's something that a better economy we sort out. Or something that teachers need to sort out with their... No, we have a kingdom mandate. And Jesus is knocking on some doors going, where am I? Where are the people? We've got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. Where are the kingdom ambassadors? I need to wrap up because our time's gone. I'm going to skip through the next. Yieldedness, to what degree are you yielded to the lordship of Christ? I was going to bring a bottle and do a little thing. How much are you governed by ideologies, policies, principles that are at odds with the lordship of Christ? That is to the extent that you're yielded to his lordship. He said, the people that I manifest to are those that keep my commandments, that keep my word. The more ideology and policy and political correctness that you have in you, you necessarily, there's an aspect of God's word and his lordship that has been reduced in you. The lordship of Christ means that he alone has absolute authority. His word alone is absolute authority in your life. You're not sharing it with secular, scientific, no. That's what it means when we say, to what degree are you yielded to the lordship? How much does he have a say versus how much do you have a say? Willingness, oh my goodness. A lot of us are like, yeah, I'm willing to be changed. Oh yeah, I'm willing to, let me ask a simple test. Husbands, hallelujah. You see, we all believe that we want to change, don't we? We all believe, no, me, I'm willing to change. You'll be surprised how many people fight for the right not to change. You'll be surprised how many times your willingness to change suddenly becomes a problem when somebody says to you, you're the problem, you need to change. Suddenly you're fighting for your opinion and fighting for... Husbands, how many of you are absolutely convinced that it is your wife that has to change and not you? Hey! Hey! Somebody please down 999 quick! Quick! We're about to have a medical emergency in the house. Wives. How many wives do we have in the house? Wives, how many of you are convinced? 100% convinced that it's your husband that has to change and not you. Parents, how many of you are convinced that it's your children that have to change? Kids, oh, they've gone. Young people, how many? Well, they're not here. But the kids will be convinced that it's the parents that have to change. 100% guarantee on that one. Do I need to go on? Employers, employees, bosses. Convinced that it's your boss that needs to change and not you, Akweme. I shall move on swiftly. Swiftly. Transformation. Jesus Christ, 100%, is not going to send you to the world if you look like the world. If they cannot tell the difference between the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light when they look at you, you ain't, no. It's not happening. Because if you want the investment of the authority and the power of the kingdom to be invested in you, you cannot look like anything that's coming out of that other kingdom. The words that you speak, the attitudes, all that stuff, the grudging, the gossiping, you can't look like them and try and change them. It's not, you will not be invested in that with that power. A sovereign state is not going to send someone to Iraq if they believe that that ambassador is sympathetic to the Iraqi policies. It's not going to happen because it compromises. Transform, and Jesus is not looking to change you. He's looking for transformation. So like I said, he wants to encounter you, but you need to square up that he's looking for all that stuff to stop. The unforgiveness, the bitterness, that it's my right. Well, if you knew what he... No, that's what you are being sent to deliver them from. You're supposed to show them what it means to forgive, not explain why it's okay for you to bear a grudge against this one person because they did what. No. Transformation is necessary. That's why he has to encounter you. He has to. It's a need. You can be expecting it. Going to wrap up with the last one, availability. Now, I just want to point out that availability, I'm talking about ambassadors, I'm talking about foreign countries and all that kind of stuff. And some of you might be thinking, well, if I surrender to Jesus, he's going to send me off to Iraq or Iran to become a missionary. And we say, amen, come, I'll pray with you. You've got a passport. I mean, what's the problem? Why is that a problem? Jesus will go with you. Romford people, where are the volunteers? Hallelujah. That's not the issue. That's not the issue. I'm going to read a poem, and I hope that it will illustrate what I mean when I talk about the degree of your availability. Jesus is looking for everyday people who are living everyday lives and who are in everyday places. It's those people he wants to empower, those people he wants to transform. It says, we are the hands of Christ that show compassion in everyday places. We are the feet of Christ that go to the downtrodden in everyday life. We are the voice of Christ that speaks gospel truth in everyday places to everyday people. We are the eyes of Christ that will not look away from the sin and injustice that is in everyday life. We are the ears of Christ that listen to the pain and the hurting of everyday people. We are the heart of Christ that bleeds for the salvation, deliverance, and healing of everyday people in everyday places. We are everyday people. We are the body of Christ. This is what availability means. He's looking for people that will carry that power, that kingdom power and authority, into everyday places. I mean, there is still need for missionaries in Iraq and Iran and those sorts of places. There is. But this is about your availability just for your own everyday life. Your going and coming, your trips to the shop, your trips to work, your trips to the concert, and your trips here and there. He's just looking for everyday people that are filled with his power, his presence, and his mandate to encounter everyday people in ordinary spaces, but to demonstrate the power and the glory that is in the kingdom of God, to demonstrate the liberation that is in the gospel truth. And so he's knocking on doors, and people are not opening. I've run out of time. Please forgive me. If we can come to the communion table, I'll ask the team and to come. Like I said to you, he sent me to tell you that he's knocking on people's doors and they're not opening. I read to you the passage that says, you love him, you have his word, he will manifest himself to you. That place of manifestation, that's part two. Because there's a preparation. You have to get your house in order. You have to get your house in order. You have to honor the Lordship of Christ. You clean up. Do you understand what I'm saying? I don't have to preach that next sermon now because we're running out of time, but you need to clean up and set yourself into alignment with him. Get your altar together. Get that place of prayer together, that place of surrender together. That's where he meets you, in your quiet place. But for some of you, your quiet place is a mess. Some of you haven't got a quiet place. Before we come to the communion table, I'm going to just play a song. Again, please forgive me, the time has gone over. He's going to come again and knock. He's going to come again and knock. You need to open the door. You need to be yielded to the Lordship of Christ. You need to open the door. You need to give him more than the porch. You need to be willing to change. The stuff that you've been holding on against whoever, the one that this one, and you have to prove yourself in that, you've got to let that thing go. When you turn up at work and you're a stick in the mud because this has happened and that has happened, and if only you know, and you're going to prove a point, and you're going to, that's not the fight. That is not the fight. Proving yourself here and there, that's not the fight. That's not the call. That's not the mandate. You have to make yourself available to him. I'm going to sing the song, then we're going to take the communion. And as we enter into that time of worship, what's going to happen is you're going to give yourself to the Lord again. If you've never done that, please come and speak to me. Please come to the front and we'll talk, we'll pray. If you once were in that place and you know that you're not there anymore, you used to be available, now it's just like nah. Used to hunger and desire for these things, but now it's all faded away and it's a long distant memory. Then come, let's pray. Me, God, the elders will pray. The Lord Jesus is here. There's no, like, let's just bring it out. Let's just pray. Bring ourselves to the Lord and say, Lord, you are my Lord and you are my God. My Lord and my God. So just take a moment and do business with the Lord.